I'm coming your way live from New Jersey. You've got questions, we've got answers. Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. I'm delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm in Zarephath, New Jersey. We'll be having a conference with Chosen People Ministries. If you can get there, do it. Zarephath is, maybe about a half hour from Newark. We flew in last night. You can find out about that by going to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it right on the itinerary. Okay, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. You've got questions, we've got answers. A few special announcements for you. Are you ready? Next week on Tuesday, it is going to be non-charismatic call-in day. This is not, as we've done in the past, cessationist call-in day, where I've asked you to try to prove your point, try to show me from the scriptures that cessationism is true. Rather, I want you to tell me what problems you have with charismatics, what issues you have with charismatic teaching, why you think certain groups or cults or certain people are false teachers or preachers. I want you to be able to ask your questions honestly. I had Pastor Bill Johnson on earlier this week. My goal in having him on was not to cross-examine him or attack him. He had written a new book called God is Good, and the publisher asked if I would have him on. It's a publisher that's put out many of my books. And I said, listen, I love Bill. We've worked together in different settings. I've preached it at his church in years past. But there's a lot of controversy around his ministry. So if he's willing to let callers ask him the tough questions and willing for me to raise questions, then by all means, let's have him on. So we did just that. I played some audio clips for him that were really damning on his ministry. I raised some other issues that have been raised to me, but I told folks, call in. Well, nobody called in to challenge him. We had other calls we didn't take that day that were just off topic, completely off topic, not for Bill, just, you know, a question for me on some other issue. But the phone lines were open, and we announced it to hundreds of thousands, to millions of people through social media. So people could have called. They didn't, and we gave folks the opportunity. In any case, I want to extend an opportunity, understanding that there are abuses in the charismatic movement. I've written whole books about abuses and issues, and recognizing that there are many wonderful things the Holy Spirit does, and recognizing that there are valid questions. I want to give you the opportunity to call in. Again, the number is always the same, 866-34-TRUTH. That'll be Tuesday, this hour. All right? It'll be me. I'll be the one here. It won't be Bill Johnson or others. And any questions that you have that you want to raise about the charismatic movement, it's not to prove a scriptural point, get in a debate with me, and you're going to have to be armed to the teeth. No. You call with your honest questions, all right? Then, Wednesday, which is October 19th. So October 18th, this hour, non-charismatic call-in day. October 19th, the whole first hour, Dr. Lance Wallnau will discuss his book about Donald Trump called God's Chaos Candidate. If you have issues with voting for Trump, if you don't see how you can vote for him as a Christian, if you feel there would be ethical compromise, if you just have questions about whether he would be fit for the presidency, I want you to call in, and Dr. Wallnau will be here to answer your questions. Now, I'll have honest questions for Lance. He's a friend as well. We don't get to spend a lot of time together, but had a delightful couple hours. Hour and a half. We got to hang out together in Dallas a little over a week ago, and I got to hear more of his ideas about Donald Trump. So that's going to be your chance to call in if you have a problem with voting for Trump. Have a problem with the idea of a Christian voting for Trump, that'll be the time to call in. All right, so we come back and going straight to your calls. Oh, and a great quote from Prime Minister Netanyahu when we come back.
World. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. You've got questions, we've got answers. Going to the phones momentarily, but I don't know if you heard this. We talked about it on the air yesterday on Thursday, Jewish Thursday, but UNESCO, which is an arm of the UN, UNESCO voted and said that the Jewish people, the people of Israel, have no connection to the Temple Mount. This is Temple Mount, Western Wall. They have no connection to it. This is exclusively a Muslim connection. So it's obviously a Palestinian-initiated concept. And the resolution was supported by 24 states, including Russia and China. 6 countries, including USA, opposed. 26 abstained. 26 abstained. I mean, this is complete, absolute nonsense. So Prime Minister Netanyahu said the UNESCO theater, meaning the theater of the absurd, show goes on. Today it took a ridiculous decision denying the connection between the Jewish people and the Western Wall. He said it's like saying that the Chinese have no connection to the Great Wall of China and the Egyptians have no connection to the pyramids. Exactly so. Oh, and by the way, Donald Trump has weighed in on this. He said UNESCO exhibited, quote, enormous anti-Israel bias by ignoring Jewish ties to the Temple Mount. Good for him. I appreciate him saying that. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start in Midland, North Carolina. Bob, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
How you doing? You're speaking right into your phone. You're not on speakerphone, right?
That's right.
Okay, great.
I was in the middle of writing emailed you today and almost got it finished. But I'd like to... takes about 3 minutes.
Well, if you're going to have to condense it from 3 minutes, can you just put your question out and I'll do my best to respond?
Okay. I had a very serious wake-up call about 6 months ago. I almost died. I had a severe bleeding episode and was actually in the hospital at the time and had a digestive surgeon that tied off.
Hey Bob, tell you what, I'm having a hard time with the quality of the call. Something's wrong with our phone connection. So if you could, I know you went through something very serious, so I'm sorry to hear. If you could just share what the question is, that would be great.
Okay, the main question I have, I would recommend your article and your video about why you would never vote for Hillary.
Yeah, all right. Just having a problem with the connection. Yeah, let me say this very plainly. I'm not looking to a presidential candidate to do the work of the church. And thank you for putting that out, sir. I'm not looking to a presidential candidate to do the work of the church. I'm looking to a presidential candidate to do the work of a president. That doesn't mean I would vote for anybody. Someone just asked me on Twitter, between Hitler and Nero, who would I vote for? Obviously neither. So I understand when some Christians say they can't vote in the election. I just heard Franklin Graham speaking, James Dobson explaining why every Christian needs to get educated and we should vote. But if we ended up voting for Hillary Clinton, would that be what he was exhorting us to do? He's not endorsing a candidate. But I wholeheartedly, without reservation, say do not vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm telling you, friends, if you're a follower of Jesus, she will declare war on your beliefs, your conservative beliefs about life in the womb, your conservative beliefs about the meaning of marriage. They will be unacceptable under Hillary Clinton's presidency. It will not be a matter of there's room for everybody. It'll be a matter of if you oppose, quote, a woman's right to choose, then you oppose human rights. If you oppose, quote, gay rights, meaning redefining marriage, etc., then you oppose human rights. There will not be a place at the table. I'm just sharing that plainly. Thank you, sir, for calling in. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Bryson in Powder Springs, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, okay. Yes, I was calling about the presidential election. I'm a first-time voter, and I'm a new believer in Christ. I just got baptized last year. I've really been delving into the Word, and it finally got me to wanting to actually vote and get involved in the elections. But too bad, it's one of the worst elections. Pretty hard. But I was calling to get your opinion on the whole, you know, Hillary and the whole abortion situation, and I'm leaning more towards Hillary because of experience, but I don't like the whole abortion aspect. But when I look at it more, it's like, well, she's not staying to abort, I don't think, you know, and the fact that, you know, given a choice, I believe it's up to the individual. And I just don't really see anything really wrong right there. I believe us as the church should be able to, you know, step in and talk to people who are having problems with it. But if there's a law saying that, you know, that you have a choice, which is, I think, is a bad choice to do. But she's, like I said, she's not saying to actual abort.
All right. So let's switch the scenario. OK, Bryson,
okay.
Let's say it was not abortion. It was killing black children. OK, out of the womb, black children. And one candidate said there should be a law against killing black children, and I'm going to stand for that. And the other candidate said, hey, I think anyone that feels it's right to kill a black child should be able to. If it's their child, it's their choice. Whether a child is a month old or a year old, I think that's fine, and I'm going to protect their right to do it. Would you say the same thing?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, well, that's what you're talking about, sir. You're talking about killing a baby in the womb or killing a baby outside of the womb. And Hillary Clinton would be the most radical pro-abortion candidate in the history of our country. Without question, there will be more babies killed under a Hillary Clinton administration than under another administration. I've read that Planned Parenthood is putting in $30 million to support her her candidacy and the candidacy of others standing with her. She has said plainly that one reason you cannot vote for Donald Trump is because he would elect pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. So you have to look at it like that. If we went back to the days of slavery, if one person said, hey, we want to outlaw slavery in America, and the other person said, hey, it's the slave owner's choice, it's everybody's choice, I mean, where would we stand? Not only so, when we also talk about the issue of marriage and family from a Christian perspective, Hillary Clinton would be the most aggressive pro-homosexual candidate we've had in America, which would basically mean that we don't have the moral and religious right to differ with it. She's on record as saying that religious beliefs would have to be, they have to change when it comes to abortion and homosexuality. So those things, sir, obviously you have to prayerfully consider this, and I understand there's all kinds of baggage and concerns with the Donald Trump presidency, but the one thing I will continue to shout out is we cannot vote for Hillary Clinton, and that when you look at Scripture, one of the things that's at the top of the list when God judges a nation is the killing of, shedding of innocent blood, the killing of babies and children. So it's such a massive issue. And then when I look at Secretary Clinton's experience, she's been one of the most corrupt politicians we've ever had. There are people outraged through the FBI that she was not indicted for the laws that she broke as Secretary of State, and then we have the lives that were lost in Benghazi. So obviously, again, it's up to your own conscience, but I just encourage you to look at it like that. You would be voting for someone who is aiding and abetting the slaughter of innocent babies in the womb, and it doesn't matter whose choice it is, it means that we are aiding and abetting that. So in that case, you either vote for another candidate outside of Hillary, or you don't vote, or you vote for Donald Trump with reservation. But I couldn't vote for Hillary. And that's my counsel and advice, sir. and may the Lord give you wisdom as you vote for the first time. Thank you. Thank you for calling and weighing in. All right, I want to get right back to your calls on the other side of the break. I just was sent a very sweet note from someone who listens and reads our stuff regularly in Israel. He said, please tell Dr. Brown that my wife and I have appreciated his sound commentary on this very odd and disturbing election year. He has been a sane voice in this troubled election season. That is our goal, friends, to be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. If you appreciate the work that we're doing, stand with us. Your gifts of support help us do the important work that we're doing. Just go to thelineoffire.org and click on donate. We'll be right back. Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I want to encourage you to join our support team today. Become a torchbearer, one of our regular monthly supporters that enables us to broadcast the Line of Fire around America and around the world. And oh, every month we sow back into you in many, many different ways. Join our team, become a torchbearer. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on donate.
It's fire we want, for fire we need.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I received a call from a major Christian leader today asking me to ask all of you that are listening to me today, especially those in Charlotte, North Carolina, to pray for the Donald Trump rally tonight, that God would do something in and through this rally. This is not an endorsement for Donald Trump. The leader who called me was not endorsing Donald Trump. But he felt that there's something that's up and that we should be praying that God would move. Again, it is not an endorsement for Mr. Trump. It is not a call to vote for Mr. Trump. It is a call to pray for the rally tonight that God would do something. So I think that's something we could all agree, Father. Have your way. Have your way. Awaken your people. Let us be awakened to God and touch Donald Trump. And if we had access to the Hillary campaign, we'd be praying for God to touch her. Of course, we still pray for that as well. All right, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Indianapolis. Ron, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call, and we spoke a week ago, and want to thank you for that too, and especially appreciate that you really responded in grace and humility and looking to find out my heart.
Well, thanks. By the way, you slipped through by accident because we don't allow callers to call back so quickly, but since you're on, let's do it. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, I had a question, but I wanted to explain a little bit where I'm coming from and why I called 2 days in a row, or 2 weeks in a row. And where I'm coming from is I see in Christianity in general, it seems to me there's a predominant belief system that produces a mindset of a low expectation or a soft expectation as far as overcoming sin.
Yep.
And I've actually wrote a book about that. One of the items in the book is the progressive sanctification issue we talked about last week. And I'm actually requesting that you review the book. And I know you get a lot of requests like that and can't do many. So I would like to send it to you and just look through a few pages, see if it's something you want to review.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, there's contact info on the Ask Dr. Brown website. Yeah, so the specific question then for today.
Okay, the specific question is, regarding, is there a gradual crucifixion of sin in a believer? So similar to what I brought up last week.
Right, got it. Yeah, so the answer is there is, when we come to faith, an identification with Jesus represented by water baptism, which says that we've died to sin. So in that sense, there is a once and for all death to sin, once and for all new birth, once and for all crucifixion. However, what we're told to do in Luke 9 is to take up our cross daily. That's number one. to take up our cross daily. And number two, in Romans 6, to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. In Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised with the Messiah, set your hearts on things above, not on things in the earth. And then it says, put to death, therefore, the deeds of the flesh. So spiritually, with salvation and symbolized by baptism, we have died once and for all to sin, and we now live to God. We are no longer children of the devil. We are children of God. In an instant of time, we are no longer hellbound. We are heavenbound in an instant of time. However, we must renew our minds to that reality. We must consider ourselves dead to sin, and that can be on a daily basis. We must take up the cross and say no to the flesh on a daily basis. And we must recognize that our nature now is to live for God, and we are there to clothe ourselves with that nature, that we are no longer sinners. We are saints, and therefore more than conquerors and overcomers in Jesus, but we must now live that out. So that's the ongoing. The reality is once for all. It is ongoing to now live it out. In any case, I'm going to take some other calls, but feel free to send the book. And this much I tell you, I will look at the contents in a few pages. We have stacks and stacks and stacks of these to review, as you could imagine. I only even get to look at a few, but we'll certainly take a look. All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I appreciate the call. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Reese in New Brunswick, Canada. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk or ask a question or make a comment about the Bill Johnson interview. So first, I just want to preface this with saying that I'm not here to attack, and I hope to generate more light than heat. And I'm also a torchbearer, so I'm a supporter of your ministry. But I have to say, when I saw that, I was a little... I don't want to say disappointed, but I was a little, I don't know, there are just so many things about the NAR and Bill Johnson's ministry that are raised many, many red flags for me and for many others. So I just want to ask, I know that you really do so well, and you've taught me so much about things like hypergrace and LGBT issues and Black Hebrew Israelites and so many other topics. But I just want to ask why, and I don't want to be rude when I ask this, but why do you take a much more soft approach when it comes to the fringes of the charismatic or teachers who are on the fringe? Think of Benny Hinn. I know you've addressed the Benny Hinn issue, Sid Roth and Bill Johnson and others who you're much slower to criticize them. And you will refer to them as brothers in Christ when I would be very hesitant to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reese, did you listen to the Bill Johnson interview?
I did, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so it's a great question, and I deeply appreciate the way that you ask it. Number one, I've addressed issues in the charismatic movement for decades, absolutely decades. And... 1991, my book came out, Whatever Happened to the Power of God? Is the Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count? So I've freely addressed things. But one thing is, if someone is a friend or a colleague, I'll address them directly. If I don't have access to someone and they refuse interaction with me, then I'll address it in a different way. So certain things, if I have a concern, I'll call the person and we'll talk about it privately.
Right.
But I will say this, that I've known Sid Roth for over 30 years. My son-in-law works with him closely as his producer. I don't watch his TV show or know what's on all the time, but I've known Sid for over 30 years and walked with him in many settings. We shared offices years ago, and he loves the Lord with all of his heart. He lives a godly, holy life. He is the most committed soul winner that I know in America, witnesses boldly without shame. So as a brother, of course, oh, there's some things I differ with. Probably, if I watched all the shows, but I'm not going to major on that.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. You've got questions, we've got answers. So, Reese, thanks for holding through the break. I'd encourage you first to go to the Bethel website, which is ibethel.org, and look at what we believe. It's in the About section, ibethel.org. They are Orthodox believers who hold to the fundamentals of the faith and would affirm the historic statements of faith that most evangelicals would hold to. And within the charismatic movement, Bill Johnson's a highly respected leader. He's hardly considered fringe. If you look at the endorsements to his new book, they are, some of the top leaders, charismatic leaders in the world. And I'm not part of, quote, the New Apostolic Reformation, the NAR, but I know folks who are, and the whole thing is completely misrepresented. That's what I'm real sensitive to, Reese. I was a leader in the Brownsville Revival. I was there for 4 years. I was in between public services and classes and rallies, well over 2,000 meetings. Okay, so I mean, if there's an eyewitness, I was an eyewitness. And you're talking about the gospel being preached and Jesus being exalted. You're talking about you could cross-examine our faculty at our school and find everyone to be a committed, solid, godly believer. And yet people would report on this as if it was the craziest heresy. And I've watched through history of every past revival that's happened has had critics and attackers. So I'm real sensitive to that. I'm real sensitive to people being misrepresented. Or here, I saw the Eric Johnson statement about human nature. I thought, what in the world? But it's this little clip. So I asked Bill about it. He said, yeah, it's my son. And here's what Eric was trying to say. But no, we believe human beings are born with a sinful nature and they must repent of sin. Okay. And then, what kind of comment, Jen Johnson make about the Holy Spirit's like a sneaky blue genie from a lad? Like what kind of talk is that? He said, well, she doesn't use that. He finds it inappropriate. She was trying to make a point in a certain culture and it was, wrongly stated. So it's not like he's there saying, this is what we believe. This is really important to us. We believe the Holy Spirit's like a sneaky blue genie, etc. So I'm not going to let others, or here, when you have the clips from Todd Friel and Phil Johnson, brothers, yeah, I call them brothers in the Lord too. Trust me, I get criticized for that. I get criticized for embracing them as brothers. Phil Johnson said, Jesus' culture is more dangerous than abortion. I mean, So my point is, when I see the extreme reactions and when I see the false accusations, right, I am not going to react to that because I found unless I renounce the things of the Spirit, I will never satisfy certain critics. At the same time, if there is an issue or a concern, I either won't work with that person, or if it's something I feel to address, I'll address. And as you rightly mentioned, the Benny Hinn controversy, the fact that I appeared on the show with him and was so positive towards him as we interacted. Again, I had goals in doing it, and I wanted to build a relationship and hopefully be of help, etc. Was it wise to go on the show and appear? That's a fair question. My friend James White immediately after the show posted on Facebook his disagreement and told me face to face. I said, yeah, you could be right. Maybe it was a mistake. There's so much baggage. There's so many false prophecies associated with his ministry. There's the fundraising. There are other things. But aside from that, from what I could tell spending time with him, he really is a genuine believer. So I'm not, unless I name everybody by name and call them a heretic, I'm not going to say certain people, and I'm not going to call the heretic hunters heretics either. I'm going to say we need to listen to each other and be fair with each other. Hey, if that answers your question, let me know. If not, tell me.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for being part of the broadcast today at 6634TRUTH. Okay, funnily enough, during the break, my feed, which is not the one you get on your local radio station, but one you get listening online that comes from one source, I heard R.C. Sproul talking about Martin Luther and St. Augustine are both part of his fellowship. Oh, okay, if that's the case, many of those who will attack, say, Bill Johnson today, or will attack Mike Bickle today, or who will attack me today as charismatics, they warmly embrace Martin Luther. Let me tell you something. Martin Luther's shortcomings, Martin Luther's sins, Martin Luther's failures are a massive mountain compared to whatever accusations you're going to bring against these others. A massive mountain. If you want to compare them in terms of what he wrote and said and the fruit of what he wrote and said, some of his words being used by Adolf Hitler and the Nazis to help fuel the fire of Jew hatred, even to kill Jews. If you want to make the comparison, you're comparing a mountain range with a mound of dirt, to be honest. So let's be consistent. And I raise that in my book, Authentic Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Hurley in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I do also think that was low. I could hear. Okay, here's what it is. The question I have is, does God learn after creation and as things happening? Because the Bible says that on the Old Testament that he did repent of creation. And then later it says, somewhere else it says that God is not son of man to repent or to sin.
Exactly.
And the Bible says also that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So does God change his thinking? Does he learn what happened? Did he know that man would sin and he already had planned Jesus, you know, dying on the cross? He knows everything, or does he learn? I mean, does he repent?
Yeah, these are great questions. Theologians ask them, and people just reading the Bible ask them. Uh-huh. Let me give you an answer that I think will help you a lot, but okay. I'll paint a picture for you. Have you ever watched a very powerful, emotional movie, like a real tearjerker or real dramatic movie? You've watched it before, but if you watch it again, you're on the edge of your seat.
I'm not a movie watcher.
Okay. All right. Well, that's just fine. But let's say this. There are movies. I know the outcome. Yeah. Okay? Some classic thriller. I know the outcome, but I won't watch them again because it's too emotional experience to watch. In other words, even though I know the outcome, it still grips me. Or I'll think back when our daughters were little. We were at the beach one day, and they were good swimmers. But suddenly I looked up, and they had gone way out beyond where they were supposed to be. And my heart, you know, jumped. And I said, girls, come on back in. Okay. Well, when I think of it, my heart still skips a beat, even though that was decades ago and nothing happened. So here's my point. No, God does not learn anything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He declares the end from the beginning. And yet, there are verses where it seems that he discovers something. Like when Abraham is willing to sacrifice Isaac, he says, now I know you really fear the Lord. Or in Jeremiah, he tells Israel, I really thought you would come back to me. I really thought you would call me Abba, you know, Father, but you didn't. He says to Jeremiah, perhaps the people will repent. Or in Genesis 6, he regretted that he made man. And that you refer to other verses, Numbers 23, 1 Samuel 15, that he doesn't change his mind. So How do we understand this? I wrote about it in my Jeremiah commentary, and this is what I understand. God is eternal. God inhabits eternity. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing happens that he doesn't already know will happen. Every last detail of human history, he knows and he knew before he created human beings. I firmly believe that. And yet, he has the ability to experience things with us. When he came into the world in the person of his son, Jesus wept, Jesus rejoiced, right? So God could incarnate himself in our midst and yet still be God. I believe God can do that same thing, that even though he knows everything, that he can actually experience grief or joy based on our response. The same way, as I said, you could watch something you already know the outcome, and yet you have an emotional reaction. The difference is that God's, quote, emotions are perfect. Ours are mixed, and there's flesh, and you know there's right with wrong, etc. But if that analogy helps you, yes, he knows everything in advance. He does not learn. He does not think, oh, I didn't see that coming. No, nothing surprises him. Some Calvinists would say he preordains everything that happened. I would say he simply foreknows everything that would happen. But we both agree that nothing surprises him, that he doesn't learn. But I would say that he genuinely responds in the moment in terms of, yes, he can genuinely feel grief and joy or disappointment or pain or sorrow. Hence, he could say, I regret doing this. It was a painful choice, but it was a painful choice he knew in detail would be the case before he ever made it. Hey, thank you for the questions. 866-348-7884. Let's go to, all right, we won't go there. Let's go to Woodbridge. We won't go there. Let's try Stafford, Virginia. Whoa, look at that. Howard. I don't want to say dropping like flies. That could sound bad. But from full phone lines. All right, tell you what, if you're trying to get through, now's a good time. 866-348-7884. The number to call. You've got questions. We've got answers. Do I want to read this? Yeah, I want to read this. A Christian friend of mine, a major national leader, wrote to World Magazine. World Magazine, major evangelical publication, they called for Donald Trump to get out of the race. And he's asked them, well, are they also calling for Hillary Clinton to get out of the race based on all of her scandals? And this is what he wrote. Love what you guys do, but this is misguided at best. We are talking about the difference between the death of the pro-life movement or not. Think about that. Saving babies or killing them. We are talking about the future of the Supreme Court for a generation. This is a sea change moment in the history of America. Make no mistake, Hillary Clinton and the secular progressives have nothing but contempt for Christians. Sometimes you have to vote to stop evil, or at least try to. Trump is a very flawed man, but he has surrounded himself with several godly men. He's teachable. He will not use the power of the federal government to come after us. She will. We wouldn't apply the standard to anything else in life. If there were two doctors who were both adulterers, yet one could remove your cancer and the other could not, would you choose neither and just die? If you had two mechanics who were both drunks, yet one could fix your car and the other would tear up your transmission, would you choose neither and just walk everywhere? This is what we face. We live to fight another day. This was a huge mistake by World, huge mistake. It will further depress the Christian vote when given the choice between more evil and less evil. Why wouldn't you choose less? So that's a strong argument raised by this particular Christian leader. Someone else sent this note, and they said that a Christian leader made this comment that God can use a Samson more than a Jezebel. So I just posted that seconds ago during our last break, so minutes ago, on Twitter with regard to Trump and Clinton. A Christian leader, I don't know who it was, said God can do more with a Samson than he can with a Jezebel. So I said, I gave four choices. I agree. I disagree. It's not relevant. I don't understand. And I do get the point of it, that Samson had a calling from God on his life and an anointing, and yet he was such a flawed man, he ended up basically dying for it and suffering a lot for it. And yet God used him, whereas Jezebel was outright wicked and brought judgment on generations of Israelites with her wickedness and with the godlessness that she helped entrench in northern Israel. So anyway, the vote just started, you know, our first 59 or so responses. But I'll let you know how that turns out a little later. Or you can weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH. But let's concentrate on your questions. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, there's an absolutely outrageous ruling. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, known for its commonly radical rulings, has upheld California AB 775, so Assembly Bill 775, a law that forces pro-life resource centers to promote abortion. You go to a pro-life resource center, and they are required to say, now, if you want an abortion, here's where you go. Or let's consider abortion as an option. What an outrage. And there's only one thing for these centers to do. Refuse. Refuse. According to Matt Bowman, senior counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, quote, it's bad enough if the government tells you what you can't say, but a law that tells you what you must say under threat of severe punishment is even more unjust and dangerous. In this case, political allies of abortionists are seeking to punish pro-life pregnancy centers, which offer real hope and help to women. Forcing these centers to promote abortion and recite the government's preferred views is a clear violation of their constitutionally protected First Amendment freedoms. That's why other courts around the country have halted these kinds of measures and why we will be discussing the possibility of appeal with our clients. Either way, the clients must refuse to comply in conscience before God. That is obvious and a no-brainer in that respect. May God give them courage. By the way, that's why the vote for pro-life justices, the vote for this presidency and pro-life justices is so important. And I just want to urge you, if you can't vote for Donald Trump, by all means, don't vote for Hillary Clinton. Sit it out, vote for somebody else, but don't vote for her, because otherwise, I'm telling you what happened in the Ninth Circuit and that bill, Assembly Bill 775, whatever the number was, you're going to see this all over America. And with the kind of justices that she will appoint, you're going to have nothing but this in the coming days. All out war on our freedom of religion and faith when it comes to these important moral and cultural issues. You're being forewarned. Was I right about President Obama? Go back and listen to shows over 8 years ago. People didn't want to believe me. I didn't have to be a rocket scientist or prophet. It's just what Senator Obama and others had said. This was who he was, where he stood. We had it in writing. We knew his policies. We knew his views out of his own mouth. There's no questioning that. It's clear as day. I hoped I was wrong, and I wanted to be wrong, but I wasn't. And again, it didn't have to be a rocket scientist to predict that. So I'm sounding the alarm. All right. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Eric in Vista, California. Thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Hey, awesome. I had a quick question. It seems like every time I'm listening to the radio, I always hear these people come on with, like, you know, these statements, and they're Christians, and I get it. It's always sounds so cliche now. I hear it where they say, oh, you know, there's no one righteous, no one, no, not one. And they're talking, you know, like that nobody is perfect. And, and things like that. And I just always wanted to hear your point of view on that. I know you spoke about it before on questions, you know, the question and answer on Fridays. I'm just curious on your point of view on how Christians, it seems like it's almost like a card they pull out saying, you know, no one is perfect, where it says, I know that in Romans 10, it says that this, you know, all has fallen short and all has fallen short of the grace of God and that whole scripture. But I just wanted to hear your point of view on that, on the, you know, the righteousness of God and people say that they're, seems that they're saying like no one could ever be perfect, you know, in this world. And I understand that, but with this new creation that's within us, now we can live on, righteously.
Yeah, Eric, it's outrageous. It's a complete cop out. It's ridiculous. It's unscriptural. It is simply justifying sin, exalting the power of the flesh, denying the power of God, and basically thumbing our nose at what Scripture says in verse after verse after verse after verse. Just before radio today, I'm in New Jersey, but before leaving for where I was going to do the broadcast, I was literally on my knees, and I wrote an article that I don't think it's up quite yet. Let me just see. I wrote an article we must change the world rather than be changed by the world. And in short, what I discussed was the call of Scripture to live holy lives, to live pure lives, to live godly lives. The call of Scripture to watch our tongue, to watch our conduct. I mean, James, the first chapter, says that pure religion, undefiled before God the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted by the world. We are called to purity. 2 Corinthians 7:1, in light of the promises God has given us, says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles body and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Yeah. Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no one will see the Lord, but called to pursue it. Paul tells Timothy as a young man, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, purity, and faith together with others of a pure heart. Verse after verse after verse, I quote extensively in this new article from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and saying sexual immorality shouldn't be mentioned among us. We should be people of purity. We used to be darkness, but now we're light. Walk as children of light. Yeah. An elder cannot even serve as an elder unless they live a consistent godly life and deal with their families, their children, in a godly way. If you go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on Digital Library, there's a video, Should Believers Be Held to a Higher Moral Standard? That I address this. You'll also find one from a few days ago where I talk about Christians excusing, quote, locker room talk. Forget Donald Trump. That's not the issue. This was 11 years ago. Has he repented? Has he grown? That's a separate issue. But the issue is us, believers, to make light of this. That's horrific. So, no, we're not claiming perfection, but we are seeking to become more like Jesus every day. And, Eric, if you watch me, if you could watch my life and family and ministry over a one-year period, you should come away saying, yeah, that's who I thought he was. You know, maybe you think I prayed more, or I read the word more, or I witnessed more, but you're not going to find a hypocrite. You're going to find someone who's devoted to the Lord and seeking to please him as we should be. Isn't God's grace in us enough for that? Right, we're out of time. Visit the website. Check out our special resource offer. My bottom line today, yes, we used to be darkness, but we're not anymore. Let us live and walk as children of light. I'm coming your way live from New Jersey. You've got questions, we've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, if you've got questions, we've got answers. This is Michael Brown. I'm in Zarephath, New Jersey. There's a conference I'll be speaking at tonight and through the weekend. And then, next week we start our Missions Week at Fire Church. If you're anywhere in the greater Charlotte area, by all means, visit us. It's an amazing time. Missionaries come in from around the world. We have powerful meetings, great preaching, teaching. Just very, very special times. Incredible sharing of what these grads from our ministry school and other friends are doing out on the field. I mean, you will be edified and blessed, and you'll be able to get behind what they're doing as well. Anyway, we'll tell you more about that as we get closer, just in case you're in the area. Also, to all my friends, in particular in North Carolina, and in particular in Charlotte, Donald Trump is speaking at a rally tonight. Again, I'm in New Jersey. I won't be there. But a Christian leader called me and said, hey, ask your radio listeners to pray. It's not an endorsement for Donald Trump, not for me, not from this Christian leader whose name I'm not even mentioning. But he said, ask your listeners to pray that God would do something through this rally. Hey, wherever Jesus can be glorified, wherever people can turn to the Lord, whatever can stir people to look to him, and to do what's right, and to pray rightly for these elections, we should do it. So I want to encourage you to pray. I'm not praying for a candidate to get elected. No, I didn't say that. Didn't ask for that. Wouldn't ask that. Rather, I'm asking you to pray that God would do something significant in this rally tonight in Charlotte. Again, I won't be there. I'll be in New Jersey, but we shall see. 866-348-7884. All right, so just the first 100 votes, so this is the tiniest sample of a sampling. With regard to Trump and Clinton, a Christian leader said, God can do more with a Samson than he can with a Jezebel. And I asked, do you agree? And gave four choices. I agree, I disagree, it's not relevant, I don't understand. Out of the first 102 votes on Twitter, 33% said they agree, 13% said they disagree. 46% said it's not relevant. 8% said, I don't understand. Now, my own position would be either I agree or it's not relevant. I certainly agree with the concept. Yes, that God can do more with a Samson than he can with a Jezebel. You have one with extreme weakness and another with extreme wickedness. And sometimes there's a big difference between them. Other times they really overlap. But as to whether it's relevant to the presidential race, that's a fair debate. I think people could argue it from both sides. So any question you have of anything whatsoever you want to talk to me about, ask me about any question at all, please give me a call, 866-348-7884. If you want clarification on something, if you want to challenge me on something, if you need help sorting something through, if you're looking at scripture, whatever it is, we are here to help you. And just another bit of election news, and no surprise here, but Breitbart.com reports, Thomas D. Williams writing, that a new survey suggests that nearly three-quarters of Muslim Americans will vote for Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton in the upcoming presidential elections on November. The Council on American-Islamic Relations released its national survey Thursday, reporting that 72% of Muslim voters surveyed said they will cast their vote for Clinton on November 8th, with 4% intending to vote for Trump and 12% undecided. Now, I've got grave issues and concerns with CARE and what they do and who they are. But put that aside, what does that tell you? Does it tell you that they see Trump as a bigot and a racist and a xenophobe, and therefore they're voting for Hillary Clinton for good reason? Or does this say that they think she'll be softer on radical Islam?
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Oh, let us go right to the phones, and we'll start with Ken in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I just wanted to call in and question why. It seemed like a lot of Christian folks are bending over backwards, making excuses for Donald Trump. And it just, it's like the opposite. If you say you're a Christian, and, you know, I heard you said that anybody can change or grace. And you just say that for Donald Trump and not for Hillary. It's no way I'll vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, let me say this, Ken. I'm not trying to convince you to. Let me start there. And I do find it very embarrassing the way some Christians have made excuses for Donald Trump or downplayed things in his past or said, well, you know, anybody could sin or blow it. These are the same Christians that were saying Bill Clinton has disgraced the White House and should resign, or that Hillary Clinton shouldn't be running now because she's complicit in her husband's sins by discrediting the women, etc. So I find some of it hypocritical. I find some of it embarrassing. And it's a problem with when you endorse a candidate, you become associated with them. You know, it's what makes me give pause about endorsing another candidate in the future. But to explain a couple of things, the reason that I would say people are saying, okay, we know he's terribly flawed. He's been anything but a godly man all of his life. The reason they're saying, but still we're going to vote for him, is because of the evil of Hillary Clinton. So that's the first thing. And I will shout from the rooftops, don't vote for her. She is the most radical pro-abortion candidate in our history. She says if a woman decides to abort a baby in the last day of the ninth month, when that baby could easily thrive, while it's ready to be born, that's her choice. She says that deeply held religious beliefs about abortion must change. She pushes a radical pro-homosexual agenda to the point of upsetting national leaders all over Africa. She made it plain to them, you're going to have to change your views on homosexuality, change your views on how your kids are educated, change your views on the meaning of marriage, or lose American support. That's vile. That's despicable. I find her, and she made plain in the debate that one reason you cannot vote for Trump is because he will appoint to the Supreme Court pro-life justices who will overturn Roe v. Wade, and pro-family justices, of course she didn't use those terms, pro-life, pro-family, pro-family justices who will overturn the Obergefell decision from last June that ridiculously outlawed or redefined marriage. So because of the evil that Hillary Clinton stands for and the evil practices that she would now push hard on America, and that, trust me, it's coming, it'll come straight down to Christians and their beliefs. They're saying, okay, anyone but her, and the lesser of two evils is still better. Now, that being said, the reason I talk about anyone could change is because Donald Trump is day and night hearing the gospel from men of God, some of whom I know personally, who are in the loudest possible terms urging him to humble himself, calling him to repent, and he keeps listening to them. He says, spend more time with me. All right, and it seems that there is an openness to change, whereas Hillary has made clear this is where she stands, and her counselors around her are urging her to stay in this direction. So, of course, we pray for her repentance as well. And we pray for her salvation as well.
Yes, but, Dr. Brown.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I just wanted to ask you this. You listen to just and nothing he said before. Listen to him tonight and then tell me is the people that around him doing him any good, if they have any influence on him. Just listen to what he say. I don't know why. I don't know what the problem. I don't know why. You can say he's surrounded by whoever. The guy at Liberty.
Jerry Falwell's a businessman. He's not a Christian minister. But
just listen to him. Just listen to him tonight. Don't worry about what he said or what he done before. Listen to him tonight and see what do he sound like any more less evil than Hillary.
Fair enough. But bear in mind, Ken. This is a conversation my wife and I have had endlessly, and you take the position of my wife, okay? So the person closest to me in this world agrees with you that there's no evidence of change in his life and that he can forget the past. In other words, I knew who the guy was, right? That the whole world did. I mean, that's who he was, openly, brazenly. He was, you know, guest on Howard Stern's show. He talked about his womenizing and all of this. So no surprise, that's who he was. Is he that person today? I don't know. But it doesn't surprise me. That's who he was then. I agree with you 100%. Well, no, can I tell if he is a womanizer today the way he was then? From what he says, it's debatable. It's debatable. Now look, again, your skepticism would echo that of my wife. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to get you to vote for Trump. I've written enough stuff against him and have videos out against him that are still there. I haven't pulled them, okay? Right. I'm just saying that right to the last minute, I'm going to feel like this. You know, right up till election day, I'm going to feel like this. If one person has shut themselves out from godly counsel, and the counsel they're getting from ministers and pastors is a counsel of death and destruction, It is pro-abortion, it is pro-homosexual marriage, et cetera, et cetera. It is weak on radical Islam. That's the counsel they're getting. And the other one is getting godly counsel, and they're not shutting it out. So I'm going to have more hope that they might listen, because you have to say, why do they keep opening themselves up to it? Now, what you say is 100% fair, Ken, 100%. When he gives a speech tonight in Charlotte, I won't be there to hear it, but I'll do my best to get the transcript afterwards or to listen, and I'll get feedback from folks there. Is he giving evidence of change? I am with you on that 100%. And by the way, it's just a speech. Anybody could say anything, but you'd want to see something positive. You'd want to have some indication that the person's not demeaning others and mistreating others and speaking in vile, crude terms of others. Totally. So I'm totally fair, Ken. I got no argument with you. But I will shout from the rooftops, do not vote for Hillary Clinton. All right. But thanks. Thank you for asking. I love the fact that you ask these questions. And my goal is not to persuade anyone to vote for Donald Trump. Pray for both of them, for sure. And extend mercy for their repentance, for sure. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Gene in Monroe, North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, I appreciate greatly your ministry. I would like to hear your opinion of the Pool of Siloam, John chapter 5, verse 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Could you please give me your opinion of this? Was the stirring of the water a godly thing, or what is your opinion of that?
Yeah, it seems that it was. The question is, what did the original text say? So I'm going to read from the New King James. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And then if you read it, say, in the ESV, verse 3, in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And it doesn't mention anything about the stirring of the water there. But we know in verse 7, when after Jesus asked, "Do you want to be healed?" he says, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up." and while I'm going another steps down before me. So the rest of verse 3 and verse 4 is found in some manuscripts, the majority of the manuscripts, that's what's followed by the King James and the New King James, and it clearly explains the following context. However, it's not found in what would be called the earliest manuscripts or the most reliable manuscripts. That's what's used by, say, the ESV or the NIV, but then that doesn't explain what the stirring of the water is. I'm not a textual expert so as to give a definitive opinion as to which text I follow. I do believe that those verses seem to give the background. From what I can tell, it was a positive thing, not a negative thing. Why those other manuscripts don't have it, there's debate about it, but I can't give you a clear answer. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, yeah, so just to clarify, Gene, what I was saying was it's debatable whether those were original in the text as John wrote it or not. I can't give you a definitive view because that's not my specialty area, and I've not devoted a lot of time to the study. But it does seem that it provides the necessary background and gives logic to what follows as to why some texts have it and some don't. There is debate about that. That's what I can't be definitive on. However, I do see it as something that was positive, not something that was negative, as far as I could tell. 866-348-7884. Let's see. We go to Steve in Winston-Salem. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Doc, love your program.
Thank you, sir.
Got a quick question. It seems like emotions have gotten in the way here. I had a...
Emotions? When it comes to the election? Emotions?
Well, exactly.
You better believe it.
You got this brash, tycoon who walks, or, kicks doors down. You got this grandmotherly type here, right? You look at her, you're like, hey, that's... But, I had an uncle who had to have triple bypass surgery. We are strong people of faith. Our families were all Christians going generations back. And she, my uncle, he happened to have a surgeon, the best guy, cardio guy he could find, wasn't a believer. In fact, used some bad language from time to time. But he wanted the best man. Tell me if I'm out in left field here, Doc, but it seems like, we got this candidate who's absolutely done horrific things and been a professional government person. This lady, she's spent and taxed and taxed and is really dropped the ball all over the place. We got a guy who he upsets people. He's upset me as a believer, but it just seems to me, shouldn't we look at it? Who's going to be tough? Who's going to fire some of these nincompoops in government who are absolutely? It's like our country's my uncle would, with
Steve,
we're in debt. We owe China money, and no one is, and these people keep immorally plunging us,
right.
My grandkids, into debt. So
I appreciate
neither one of these people are Christians. These people aren't Christians. I
appreciate the perspective, Steve. So here's my response. The comeback that some would have is this, that the harm that Donald Trump could do would be of an entirely different kind, that because of his volatility, he could get us in trouble with other countries and create a war with his words, or that his example as a human being is so flawed and so degraded that it would degrade the culture as a whole, and on it goes, and that if pride is his greatest sin, God opposes the proud, where would things go? But Steve, I would say that all those who are godly people who are planning to vote for Trump are doing it for the reasons you're saying. In other words, they know his flaws. They see self-evidently that he has lived a decadent lifestyle in many ways. They are voting with their eyes wide open, but they're saying, be it dealing with debt, be it the government establishment that has to be broken, be it our dealing with radical Islam, be it who gets appointed to the Supreme Court, those are bigger issues, And they'd rather have that guy in that sense operating than the other who they know is a bad surgeon. So, yeah, that's the perspective, Steve. Hey, appreciate the call. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Dave in Boston. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So there's three things I wanted to talk to you about real briefly. Donald Trump, John MacArthur, and the Trinity.
All right.
Not sure any of them have anything to do with one another, but first of all, I just wanted to comment on Donald Trump. He said some stupid things about Muslims not letting him in the country. The stupid thing he said 11 years ago with Billy Bush about women degrading. I've been around people that talk like that. Some people, they grew up in households like that where that was okay to talk like that. And, you know, I think he's repented. I'm going to forgive him on these. If you recall, during the 90s with Monica Lewinsky, the whole tone about sex changed in the media. Everything was okay. It was all right with Hillary. You know, it's okay with Congress.
Yeah, and let me just say this. And here's so I want to turn this around for a second, okay? And I just wrote an article, just went live moments ago. I'll post it in a few different places. People of God, let us change the world rather than be changed by the world. And I mentioned that during the Clinton presidency, and then when he was questioned about Monica Lewinsky and said, "I did not have sex with that woman, there's a whole generation that grew up basically saying that a particular sex act is not sex because the president did it and said it wasn't sex. There's a whole generation that thinks you can keep your virginity and do certain things because the president did. In other words, there is a degrading of the culture as a whole. So there is that concern that many have raised that if you have a Trump presidency and he continues to talk and act certain ways or be known for the past and he hasn't distanced himself from it, and we're seeing it in the culture now, just the headlines in on websites and what the news is talking about hour by hour, it's the most polluting, vulgar stuff. And yuck, who's looking to talk about this? So we have to renew our minds and determine not to be part of that. But if Donald Trump is changing, then by all means, let's celebrate the change and encourage him to move forward. Now, how does that tie in with John MacArthur?
Okay, well, I also want to say about John MacArthur, I'm also a Jewish believer, and John MacArthur was a large part of teaching me the word, listening to him. I'm a radio Christian, if you will, until I joined a church just a few years ago. I saw something recently on your show about something John MacArthur said about Jesus culture. And I just wanted to say, I think John MacArthur owes Jesus culture an apology. And I just wanted to thank you for bringing that up. And I don't know if he has apologized to them yet. But
no, he certainly feels... that what he said is correct, that he believes the vast majority of charismatics worldwide are not even saved, that he looks at many of these groups as, you know, false prophets, false apostles, and even the people that are part of them as cults, which is terribly unfortunate. I believe if John MacArthur and Bill Johnson got to know each other and could spend a few hours together fellowshipping around the word, that they would both be enriched, and they would both grow in the Lord, and they would both be helped in a positive way by it. So I would love to see that happen. If it doesn't happen in this world, it's going to happen in the world to come, for sure. And I think you were thinking about the video, Dr. Brown responds to John MacArthur and Todd Friel on charismatic worship. You can see that if you go to my digital library. Go to thelineoffire.org, click on digital library, and just type in John MacArthur or Todd.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. I want to go straight to the phones. It's Friday. That means you've got questions. We've got answers. Any question of any kind that you want to ask, as long as it's appropriate for Christian radio, please have at it. Let's see. We will start in Raleigh, North Carolina, with Cameron. Welcome to the line of fire.
Hi.
Hey.
So my question is, I've heard that in scripture that there is evidence against central banking, and I was wondering if that is true and where to find that.
You know, I'm probably not the best person to ask that question to. I do not major on contemporary financial issues. I can give you biblical principles about finances and debt and stewardship and giving, but I don't know what the argument would be against central banking, to be honest, Cameron, and I don't know what scriptures would be used to make a point, and I would be completely flailing with trying to come up with something that sounded coherent. So I will simply say I don't have a clue. But tell you what, I'm going to ask my assistant, Dylan, when he gets a minute to look into it, see if he comes up with anything. I'm sure just a quick search on YouTube. And if I get a chance to review it, sir, during a break in this next half hour, I will shout it out. I'll let you know what I think. All right. So I apologize for my ignorance there, but I want to be totally candid with you. If you said, hey, I've heard all these arguments, this, what do you think? I could respond. But since you're asking what are the basic arguments, I can't supply those for you. But we'll check. All right. We'll check. If I get anything, I'll let you know. Thank you, sir, for calling. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over. Oh, stay in Raleigh. Mandy, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I guess kind of follow up some of the previous callers. I personally feel like I don't see how God could bless us, you know, rallying around someone so immoral. And I get that he's better than Hillary, but not a whole lot. And my question, like, I didn't know how, you know, what's your opinion or how familiar you are with some of the other candidates, like Evan McMullen?
Yeah, I've looked at some of the other platforms. Some I agree with more than others. I have no problem with a believer saying, hey, I'm responsible to vote, and I have to vote my conscience. That's all I'm asked to do. And I like the platform of Evan McMullen, or I like the platform of Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying, you know, someone might say that, and I feel responsible to vote accordingly, or I can't vote in conscience. I think that is totally valid for someone to hold to that. The question would be, will my vote actually do anything? In other words, by sitting it out or by voting for another candidate that has no possible chance of getting in, is my vote actually doing anything? And if you say, hey, my vote is sending a message, my vote is a vote of conscience, my vote is a protest vote, you have to go with that. I know there's some that say you can't do that, but why? Who gave us the responsibility of either electing a Democrat or a Republican? Who gave us the responsibility of doing whatever we can to keep someone out of office? So yeah, I'm shouting from the rooftops, don't vote for Hillary Clinton under any circumstances, but I'm not telling you all go ahead and back Donald Trump. The big question I'd have about Trump, Mandy, is, has he changed? And many would say no, certainly not. But that would be the big question. Has he changed? And if he's still immoral in those ways, have there been other leaders? I mean, Martin Luther King apparently was a serial adulterer, and God used him. Could God use someone like that today?
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just quickly, the question about central bank. I don't really know how the central bank operates or what exactly is meant by the central bank, etc. There's an article I was forwarded by Matt, my faithful producer, from England, abolishthebank.wordpress.com, abolish the Bank of England, and it raises various scriptures about the importance of just weights and measures and things like that, and because of that, it comes against the Bank of England. But I just glancing at it, I don't know that there's any real argument that you could make scripturally about this. So whatever the argument is, I've not heard of it before, nor am I concerned by it at the moment. All right, let's go over to Charlotte. Kevin, hey, Kevin, before I bring you on, just a reminder, Donald Trump is speaking in Charlotte tonight. A caller said, all right, if he's surrounded, Ken from Richmond, Virginia, earlier said, if he's surrounded by godly counselors when he speaks tonight, let's see if it makes a difference. Very fair. I agree with that. And one Christian leader said, really pray for the meeting tonight that God will use it, God will work. So we're not praying for Trump's presidency, we're praying for God to work. Let's pray and let's see what God does. All right, Kevin, over to you.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.
So my wife and I, we can't have children, and obviously unless it's a miracle from God. But my question is what are your thoughts, and maybe you have some insight biblically about sperm donor?
Yeah, first, I'm sorry to hear the situation you and your wife find yourselves in, and obviously the Lord will be with you through it. And if there's not a miraculous healing, then obviously there are ways that he'll give you to have children and raise children. I would encourage you to go to the website anonymousus.org. Anonymousus.org. Okay. It is put together by children of sperm donors, in particular anonymous sperm donors. The trauma they have lived with, the struggles they have had over the years, the identity issues they've had. There are poems there, one of which I read on the air. It was so poignant that I almost broke down reading it. The pain of this child now grown, wondering who the father is and does the father even think of him. And, you know, you've got certain instances where single men have just donated sperm prolifically, and they have now fathered in this way dozens and dozens, scores and scores and scores of kids. Just read one case where the doctor who was providing the sperm from the sperm bank, it was actually his own, and people found that out afterwards. There are lots of moral and ethical problems associated with it. Now, I know the positive is, well, it's still, you know, it can be joined with the mother's egg, and therefore, in a certain real sense, the baby is your own baby. But there, I can't for a moment pretend to tell you what to do as someone that wants to have children. But with adoption as a real option, where that child is your very own child in so many ways, where a mother is agreeing at birth to give the child up for adoption being another option. But under any circumstances, I would not do something with an anonymous sperm donor. You know, that I would strongly counsel against.
Okay.
If it's not anonymous, and if there are ways of finding out, you know, who the father, the biological father would be, so the child would be able to know that, you know, that's an important identity thing growing up. But go to anonymousus.org with your wife, check that out. And then from there, you can discuss the larger sperm donor question in general. Okay.
Great. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you, sir. 866-348-7884. We'll go back to Richmond, Virginia. Corey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good question for you. Why should I vote in this election? I have a lot of questions to ask, but I'm just going to ask you that specific question.
Well, I don't blame you if you can't. If you say you can't vote at all because you're fed up with both candidates, the leading candidates, or you don't want to be the one that when you stand before God that your name was on that ballot for either one, I can't argue with you. I wouldn't yeah. argue with you. The argument would be this, for those that are saying you have a responsibility to vote. They would say that with Hillary Clinton presidency, there would be an all-out war on fundamental religious beliefs. There would be the weakening of America internationally. And there would be an all-out war on the unborn and on our values for marriage and family. And because of that, we must vote against her. And if Donald Trump is the one against her, as weak a candidate and as flawed a candidate as he is, we should vote for him. But if someone says, I can't do that in conscience, I respect that, sir.
And this is another question I have to ask you. If you're going to talk about either one, either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, talk about them both on an equal level, you know, either if it's bad or good. So that's the way where you can't say, well, you know, I'm promoting this one or the other one. Because on a lot of programs I hear, people talk about one or the other. And then, yeah. Which is unfair because, you know, you have a mic, you have a microphone, and, you know, you are addressing millions of people.
So let me ask you this, Corey. Let's say it was back when President Lincoln was running for office, okay? And he was going to be an anti-slavery candidate. His opponent was a pro-slavery candidate. And we had radio back then. Would I be morally obligated to not speak against the pro-slavery candidate and to equally, you know, speak about, okay, make the candidates seem equal? In my eyes, Hillary Clinton would be a far more evil and destructive candidate than Donald Trump. Now, some differ with me, but that's my conviction. I'm not endorsing Trump or encouraging folks to vote for him. And I've said many times, my wife, Nancy, couldn't vote for either. And she feels that Trump would be worse than Hillary. So, you know, we've had lively discussions about that, and we have a difference over it. And she said, yeah, tell your listeners. That's how I feel. So I'm telling you. But from my viewpoint, I see what Hillary would do as far worse, and therefore I'm going to sound the alarm about that. Shouldn't I do that morally? I'm not a politician. I'm a minister. Shouldn't I do that morally?
Yeah, I mean, well, this could be a long discussion. I know you have a lot of other callers.
It's a fair question, Corey. I'm just answering you honestly. I understand you want us to be impartial and not be in a candidate's back pocket and that kind of thing. But can you see that if I really feel there are major moral issues that I can urge people in one particular way? I'm not a conservative talk show host. Trust me. I'm fed up with Fox News just like I'm fed up with CNN. Trust me on that. And I don't want you to feel like when you listen to this show that you're listening to Fox News, because that is not who I am. But I just have – yeah, go ahead.
I'm not saying you, but I'm saying them as other radio programs like yours, if you're going to address issues on both parts, okay, either bad or good. So that way you can have a healthy choice of information that's given out.
Well, I appreciate that. And let me just say this, Corey. I have written more articles warning about Donald Trump, especially during the primaries, than I have warning about Hillary Clinton. Now I'm sounding the alarm more loudly about Hillary Clinton. But I'm doing my best to be honest. If I see something right on either side, to say it. If I see something wrong on either side, to say it. I just have much more grave concerns about court. But, sir, thank you for your questions, and thank you for the spirit in which you asked them, and being respectful that I have other callers. But thank you, sir. If I was face-to-face, we'd continue the conversation. Let's go over to Janet in Durham. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Michael Brown. Friday is like a triple treat for me. I love your show. I love the teaching. But I was calling because I live in North Carolina. I think I'm the golden voter. I'm a woman. I'm black or African-American, whatever. And I'm under the poverty level. And I was a Democrat. I voted for Obama, and I hated it. But I just want to say I'm not calling to argue. I mean, I can get heated, but I was calling because I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. The reason why I really believe, God is changing him. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to pray for him because I'm done with fighting, you know, at the job, you know, with my words. I'm trying to, you know, just hear what God is saying. And I, if someone's on, as a believer, we have a responsibility, like you said, morally, we have a responsibility to pray and to hear God. I'm taking a day off to pray for this man so he would have the wisdom of God to not say stupid stuff and that the people around him, I know you're going to break, but I just wanted to say that.
Hey, Janet, this was a golden call. Just your spirit, your heart, your prayer, and your kind words. Thank you so much.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a joy to be with you on this Friday. This is Michael Brown. You've got questions. We've got answers. I want to go straight back to the phones. Here we go. Back in Charlotte, North Carolina. David, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Just a quick question. I met a young fella today who identifies as a Christian and was wearing taluses and explained that he believes he should follow as a Christian the Torah and the laws, and that is actually the Christian mandate. And I just wanted to be able to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I've written about this a lot, addressed it a lot. When you have a Gentile Christian who feels obligated to keep the law of Moses, almost without exception, they are heading in the wrong direction. What I mean is that they are now finding a primary identification in that which relates to the calling on Israel and even Jewishness. Many of them will even start to try to look more Jewish and things like that. And listen, I have zero argument with a Gentile follower of Jesus saying, hey, God never changed the seventh-day Sabbath, and I honor the Lord setting that day aside. Great, fine. I'm thrilled when Gentile Christians say, hey, we're going to follow the biblical calendar, and we incorporate the death and resurrection of Jesus into the Passover season, and we're, you know, about to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, and we do it with messianic fulfillment. Great, wonderful. When they start to say that this is an obligation that we have, when they start to say this is something that every Christian should do, I see that it's absolutely contrary to the full revelation of the New Testament. And again, I know folks that are sincere and they're kind of reacting, the pendulum swinging, and they're reacting against the church cutting itself off from Jewish roots and things like that. But all that being said, David, there are concerns when I see it happening over the years. I've almost always seen it lead to spiritual confusion in someone's life. There are plenty of Gentile believers who attend Messianic congregations and are part of the congregational life and are one together with their Jewish brothers and sisters. It's another thing when they feel it's mandatory Torah observances or seek to put it on others. In my book, 60 Questions, Christians ask about Jewish beliefs and practices. 60 questions Christians ask about Jewish beliefs and practices. I tackle these very issues in the last section of the book, so that may be helpful to you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. By the way, the key is always keep our eyes focused on Jesus, Yeshua. If he is central, we find our life and identity in the Messiah, and then we make him known to others, then the other things are secondary regardless of where we land on them. Thank you, sir. All right, we go to Michelle in Fort Mill, South Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, very good. I am just want to agree with what you're saying. I am obviously a woman. I am a Christian, and I'm more conservative. I also have family members in the military, and I first wanted to say for any of those who are just struggling who to vote for, we were just praying for both the candidates. this weekend. I am a supporter of Trump. I also am a child of having divorce in the family and having just going through that where my dad was unfaithful to my mother. And, you know, there is power of forgiveness. And there was a caller that was talking about, you know, who Trump is listening to. And I agree in what you're saying that Pence is a known for to be a godly man. And, you know, I look at myself as a godly woman, and, you know, we fall short of the glory of God every day. But, you know, I, you know, there's been Carson in his camp who's giving him counsel, and, you know, we're just praying for wisdom for this country, you know, and who to vote for. But also, I mean, I think it's sad that Michelle Obama just the other day was talking about the fact that we shouldn't let somebody like Trump in office with these allegations, and they are allegations. But yet, Bill Clinton was in the White House for how many years and was having affairs, and he lied to the United States citizens and told us that he never had an affair.
Yeah, and this happened right in the White House itself. Yeah,
in
Michelle.
Office.
Yeah, and just to go back again to the question of why I put stock in who's around Donald Trump. Again, right now, if the elections were today, I know I couldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I still don't know I could vote for Donald Trump, all right? So I'm just being honest with you, candid with you. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I'm not sure. Thankfully, they're not today. By the time Election Day comes, I'll be sure about what I'm doing. But I know firsthand some people, preachers, leaders, godly people, who in the loudest, clearest possible terms are preaching the gospel to Donald Trump, are urging him to walk in a godly way, are urging him to show contrition, to be truly repentant, are urging him to turn aside from things that are obviously wrong and carnal. You say, I don't see any evidence that he is. I don't know. I'm not close enough to know. But I know this. He keeps listening and not shutting these people out. Normally, you shut them out when you don't want to hear it. Okay? So all I'm saying is he continues to open the door to people who are preaching the gospel to him loudly and clearly and calling him to be godly. That means something to me. That's a positive. All right? And therefore, I have more hope in his repentance than in Hillary Clinton's right now. Thank you for the call. All right, CJ in Columbus, Ohio, we're really short on time, so if you could dive right in.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to call and ask if you were familiar with scripture that helps give us God's mind or his view on cremation, being cremated, and if it has any effect on us being caught up with Christ as being referenced in 1 Thessalonians 4.
Got it. Yep. All right. So let me answer as quickly as I can. I know this is a major issue. I have had friends and loved ones who were cremated. I do not believe it has any effect on that person's spirit or their relationship with God or of their being resurrected. What about someone that was burned to death in a terrible accident and literally burned beyond recognition? What about someone that drowned and their body deteriorated in the water or something just over centuries, they're just ashes left? God can still raise up in a new body, okay? That won't stop that. And there are a couple of verses, was it in 2 Samuel, about burning the bones in Israel? But from what I can see, the focus on Scripture is on proper burial. And that is a way of honoring the dead, and that burial is the preferred practice. All right, we're out of time. My bottom line today, live for God while you have breath. Make a difference with your life today.